This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Let's have a meeting here at my office.
We did attempt to have the meeting, and I did drive.
The driving, so, you got
so
down that good.
That's but a little out of balance now, because I did my drive. But
it's not out of balance, because, you know, you were driving and I was waiting. But the important thing is we didn't
meet. Well, the waiting,
meet.
There's a lot to do while you're waiting. There's nothing to do while you're driving.
Mike Shope.
Let's accomplish that. That's all
I'm saying. We attempted to have the meeting, but it was aborted.
We did and we failed. Let's have that meeting.
We're having that meeting right now.
The Bulldog.
This is not a meeting about the show. This is a meeting about having a meeting.
I know, but the intention is the same. Don't you understand? I drove here with the same intention.
The driving is not the meeting,
Larry. The driving is what we're talking about.
You keep coming back to this insane thing with driving.
Yes.
Driving is not the issue. Did we make
it? Driving is the issue.
We had a singular plan.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
With Curb, which is back after last night's season debut, there's a range of believability, right? There's things that, okay, I get we have a dispute here. 1 to 10, this dispute, implausibility, you know, this one here, like a 3 or a 4, right? Like you would probably, a normal person would know that driving to the meeting is not the same. You know, I'm not really like pro Larry so much as these things go. Another one of those is from last night. When you say you are going to boycott an establishment, that does not mean only going with another person.
Right.
And Larry goes to him, you don't need a boycott. I'm already not coming here. Your boycott is meaningless because I'm already not coming here, so you don't have to worry about going to this place with me. Anyway, I don't want to spoil anything. Joe said earlier, you don't really spoil Curb.
We've pretty much given away the whole episode at this point anyway, together. So.
You could tell me everything that happened in the show if I missed it. I'm still watching it.
Sure. Spoilers are overrated. If it's good, it's good. Breaking Bad's my favorite show of all time. I knew the ending before I started it.
Okay.
So I think spoilers are overrated. And I get why you'd be annoyed or upset.
Yeah, I don't want to annoy anybody.
I'm there for the journey, not the end of it.
It was on at 10:30 at night last night. It's reasonable if you taped it. It's not like a show that was on whatever, Thursday or something.
We're not spoiling a season 3 episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
It's not like somebody dies or something and you go like, "Oh, I can't believe Rick died in the it's not that kind of show." The dog food thing though, I could see that happening. I feel like that was a reasonable objection on his part. The bowl.
Oh, the shared bowl.
A bowl.
Yes.
All right. I've been talking mostly about the Super Bowl today. Of course, we have Kansas City and San Francisco. That is a fun matchup, I think. Very interesting for a lot of reasons. I'm happy to have it. And let's talk about it some more. 803-0550. The last thing I said before the update, and I'll just do this quickly, is I guess there's some, maybe Joe started it. I don't know. Joe is sort of...
Yeah, pretty much.
This is the kind of thing he does, and that's, for me, a high compliment. Like, he does this very well. The idea that's going to maybe get a reaction. So, blaming the Bills for not picking Mahomes. I've never really liked the idea of that, wanted to do that. Bulldog was more Mahomes at the time than I was, and you could have had him. You know, you can always say that. You can say that about every good player in the league. I mean, Kansas City... What, if you don't have the draft pick there, then you can't get blamed for this? I mean, Kansas City traded up for him. Everybody. It can be said about any team. So, I don't mind this one. As great as he is. And if you're also like me, which I think this is right, somebody that really, the main thing about the draft is these guys don't really know who's going to be good. They just don't. They're not that good at it. Mistakes are made constantly. So the Bills can't be blamed for not knowing that, really. You take your best shot. You have some idea of whether it's the person's well, mostly should be his play, right? What he's shown, his ability to play, what he's good at, strengths and weaknesses. Then to whatever extent personality has to matter. I mean, I'm not really about that, but I know that that's part of their process. Then you pick somebody. Never trade up for anybody. Never do that. And do the best you can afterward. Beyond that, trading down, adding players, lottery balls, that kind of thing. That's how you do it. So I don't want to blame them for not picking anybody. When you avoid a position, an important position for a long time, like they don't have a wide receiver to show from last year's draft, and that's unfortunate. If you see the way the season played out, they got better there with Brown and Beasley, but still were, I think, a little bit short in more ways than one, perhaps, at wide receiver. That would have been nice. There were lots of good ones. So it's so inexact that I don't really like the sound of blaming any team for not picking any particular player. It's just, to me, the wrong sort of way of looking at the draft.
I found myself more probably somewhere in the middle of this spectrum and how much, if any, they deserve for not picking that quarterback. And it wasn't to me a Mahomes thing. Like, it could have been Mahomes, could have been Watson. For me, the bigger issue was it seemed that in that draft they had just ruled out, we're not picking a quarterback here. Like, in today's game, my issue is I don't feel like you should ever be in a position, no matter where really your organization is, you should never rule out picking a quarterback, especially when you don't have one at that exact point in time. So if that's the only reason why he wasn't picked, then I might have an issue with that. If they thought Mahomes or Watson at the time were really good quarterbacks, but the GM's not here yet and our scouts aren't here yet, so we're going to put it off. If that's what happened, then I would have an issue with that. But again, that's still kind of, you don't really 100% know why they didn't pick a guy there. I just don't like the idea that, hey, we don't have everyone in place, our timeline's not ready yet, so that's why we're not picking that position at all. Because then, that's not taking your shot. That's putting it off and putting it off. And they've gotten more, you know, they've taken more shots in the last 10, 15 years than a first-round quarterback, but my biggest issue with this team my whole life has been they just don't draft the quarterback where it needs to be picked.
And now they did it. Now they've done it twice in the last decade, and you know, neither, I don't know, Allen is still, we'll see. There's reason to be optimistic there. Manuel was just a failure. That did not work out. So doing it, making that pick is, I've often advocated for it myself, but it usually doesn't work out, you know? Depending on how you want to establish what working out means. You know, there's been examples like a Matthew Stafford. That's first overall, so I'm not saying anything specifically about that. But is that not working out because the team hasn't won? I mean, that's the goal, right? And is he the reason why? I mean, that's a tough argument. He's part of the reason why, but he's good enough so that it could have worked out. And then you wouldn't question it if the rest of the team was better. You wouldn't question it in the same way as you do, and he'd be the same player. 803-0550, the number. Here is Ben on WGR. Hi, Ben.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Two comments here. One on the Buffalo Bills, Patrick Mahomes link. The second about the Bills alone.
Okay.
I think the Mahomes thing is kind of silly. I think it's a useless thought exercise. I think, like you said, any team could look at any player that was taken at any draft pick and say, I wish we had taken that guy. And I think, you know, just because it was the Bills' pick doesn't mean the Bills would have taken him. If the Chiefs didn't trade up, who knows where he would have gone. I think I can happily look or watch the Bills or watch the Super Bowl and think I'm happy where the Bills are. The only thing I'm unhappy about is that he's in the AFC, so we will have to compete with him. But the second thing I wanted to say is about the Bills in general. I've been wanting to call in and say this for a few weeks, actually.
Okay.
All season long, it really felt like whenever we were in games where we were in a position to win or we should have won and we had a lead, I was so frustrated with the Bills' offense and the way we performed in that. We would get the ball, we would run three runs pretty much. It would be Frank Gore for 1 yard, you know, whatever, and then we punted away. And we wouldn't even do a good job of burning clock. We would burn like a minute and a half, and we wouldn't get a single first down, and we'd punt it. And then our defense would be right back on the field. And I just felt like this happened in every single game, and it's prevented us from separating from teams that we should have beaten by large margins, such as, you know, the Redskins or the Dolphins. And I felt like that, you know, that drove me crazy. And then that is exactly, I feel like, what happened in the Chiefs game in the playoffs. And that it just drove me nuts to watch it happen again. And I just hope that this concept finds its way to Brian Daboll or Sean McDermott's ears, to, you know, being conservative is good, but, you know, when you have a good pass game and you have your, you know, Josh Allen didn't turn it over much in the second half, with interceptions at least, when you have that going on, why not take a chance and try to run up the score a little bit when you're just going to give them the ball back in a minute and a half anyway?
Well, thanks. Thank you, Ben. Thanks for sharing that. I mean, of course it wasn't every game, but no one can really dispute the sentiment here. I mean, that was part of the season. And you want to really dive into, among other things here, would be to dive into whether somehow not scoring as many points is good or positive in some way. And that is just not really, like, that's a tough one for me. And Sal and I have debated that in different ways over the last couple of years. Like, that there is some school of thought here that either is the Bills or Sean McDermott's, or maybe at certain times Sal's or whoever's, that not going after it, not scoring more, is somehow a positive for your team. And so what you're talking about, like, speaks to me, which is, yeah, I've got the lead here, but let's not kneel the half out. You know, let's not run the half out. Let's not be conservative. Now, why do you do that? I mean, there's a reason for doing that. You're shortening the game, as they say, and this kind of thing. I think it should be thought of like a basketball game until the game is such that it doesn't make any sense to throw passes because it stops the clock, and really, you know, you're at that point where you're so far ahead that you would look at it differently. But I'm getting 10, 11 possessions in this game, and so are you. No matter how long mine takes, you're getting the next one. No matter how long that takes, I get the one after that. It is me versus you. And so time of possession is interesting and okay, and all these other little aspects of that are something, but really it's just I get as long as I have here to score, and after a certain point, then you get your turn. And it's just, it's binary like that. And so I don't really care for the other sort of stuff where you're, you know, we're thinking about shortening the game and these kinds of things. I want to score as often as I can. I'm the Chiefs of these two teams. The Chiefs are more me stylistically, philosophically, whatever. That's it. I mean, I'm going, and then I'm going again. I just read, I was surprised, real quick, I was surprised that I haven't read this before. I don't remember reading this before. But today, and I tweeted this tweet, somebody said something about how this AFC Championship game shows you that time of possession is not a cause, it's an effect. It's something that when you're winning, it's a statistic that you're likelier to win or to lead in. It's not the other way around. And I ended up at a footballperspective.com essay about Super Bowl 25. Chase Stewart is the guy at Football Perspective. He's been on the show a few times. He's a Jet fan. That's not a negative. It's just, he just is. So he wrote this essay about Super Bowl 25. He's like, if you, the 90 Bills, so look at their three postseason games, the Dolphin game in 90, then the Raider game, 51-3, and then the Giant game. He's like, they had, you could read it. Follow me on Twitter, and you'll find this retweet from me. Eventually, if you find that thread, you'll get to this essay. They had the same number of possessions in all three of these games. The Giants didn't beat the Bills because shortening the game, time of possession. The Giants beat the Bills because they made them punt six times. Because six times in that game, when the Bills were averaging three punts a game for the season, against the Giants, they punted twice as often. Why? For no other reason than that they could not get first downs. That's why. That's it. It isn't shortening the game. It's on third down, you got stopped, and it was fourth down, and you punted on fourth down. So what the Giants did was not some breakthrough in terms of football strategy. It was they stopped the Bills on third down. That's right. And then the Giants, when they had the ball, converted on their third downs, like nine times in the game. The Bills' only third down conversion in that Super Bowl was on the last drive, maybe. Like, it was right at the end. Otherwise, they'd not have a third down conversion in that game. So That's sort of how I look at it. You know, you get the ball, you're here to score, and then your defense comes on and does its thing. Like, that's how I want to look at this. And the Chiefs, for me, are that. The Chiefs get down in these games. Oh, you're not supposed to be able to come back. And people make this fixate on what the comeback is worth. It's not the comeback. It's X number of possessions. How many points did you score? How many points did I score? Who won? Doesn't matter what the order is. It matters how many. So, yeah, I'd like to see that be a little bit more pedaled down around here. Absolutely. Dan is next. Hi, Dan.
Hey, guys. How are we doing? Thanks for taking my call. You make a lot of great points, and I know there's been a lot of talk about the Bills drafting a wide receiver, and that's probably definitely a priority, but given the fact that the running game has played a prominent role in all of these playoff games and the possible retirement of Frank Gore, what do you think the Bills' plans are there to get someone else in here to complement Singletary?
I don't know what their plans might be. If I were to guess, I'd probably be a little bit snarky about it because they've had Mike Tolbert and then Chris Ivory and then Gore, none of whom seem to really... I mean, Ivory did all right, but I mean, I don't know. I'd rather have somebody with a little bit more home run, more of a home run hitter, to say the least, than any of those guys. So if I had to guess at their plans, I might be a little bit more pessimistic sounding than I'd like. I mean, I have no idea. I think what Mostert is for San Francisco is like proof that it could just be somebody on a practice squad somewhere. Like that guy has been on a bunch of teams and got his one shot here and he killed it.
I'd love to have somebody like Derrick Henry.
No, not for me. I mean, if you're talking about spending money or a high draft pick, I'm 100% no. I mean, that's just not, to me, good business. But, you know, of course, Derrick Henry took his team a long way.
Yeah, but as far as a wide receiver, we've got Duke Williams, and I don't think we use him enough. But anyway, thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you, Dan. I mean, I should invite a debate about that idea. There'll be one. If Derrick Henry gets to free agency, whether we have it on WGR in Buffalo or they have it in 30 other NFL markets, people will be having that conversation if he comes to free agency, Derrick Henry, and whether you want to do that. And if one team, whether it's the Titans first or then someone else, wants to spend high on Derrick Henry, like the Rams on Gurley or the Jets on Bell, thinking that that's going to be their plan, I'm sure they'll get plenty of credit for it, but I want no part of it. I mean, how many different cases of these running backs when they pile up all their touches before they just end up at a point where you're getting diminishing returns? How many do we need? Like I just do not want to invest like that at that position at all.
Well, you won't even need Henry all the way to have it because Melvin Gordon's almost for sure going to be a free agent. So that's sitting there.
Yeah, and depending on what somebody costs, I mean, that's just what matters in it. As long as you're not determining how you're going to use them by what they're getting paid. Like, as long as those two things are separate, what I'm paying them, I mean, I don't want to spend up at running back because it's just, there's so tons of evidence to not do it. So I don't want to do it either. I neither want one of these guys who, you know, is like in his 30s at running back, and I'm supposed to think it's like a culture thing or something. I got no use for that. I want somebody who can take it to the house. And that doesn't have to be somebody at the Senior Bowl. That doesn't have to be somebody in the league already. That can be any player. I mean, there's no point in trying to single them out. It just could be anybody. Singletary gives you a good start at that position. And Yeldon's under contract, whether he's on the team. He's under contract. So that's okay. I'm okay. I don't have a major void to fill there without Gore, I think. I mean, Gore getting handoffs was inexplicable in the playoffs. He was a better blocker, I guess. But, you know, then why don't you... The counter-argument is you have to somehow keep the defense honest by being willing to hand the ball to him. I don't know. Like, that goes back to the other thing. The other... few minutes ago. I mean, I got a score. This team did a nice job this year compared with expectations and where it's been, but it could not score enough to be a serious contender, ultimately. 803-0550 is the number. The Chiefs and the 49ers, two serious contenders. Both on the Bills' schedule next year, by the way. Bills play the NFC West. They go to San Francisco in the process, and the Chiefs will be in Buffalo next year. The Bills play the AFC West. They'll have the Chiefs here, and I think it's the Chargers, Joe? The Raiders are away. I forget the other one. Hang on.
I think the Raiders are away and the Chargers are
here. Chargers are here.
Yeah.
So Denver's away. That's it. Chiefs and Chargers are here. Raiders and Broncos are away. With Sneaky Joe, I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. Back tomorrow. This is WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I've reminded the guys throughout the last month or so here, keep yourself in warm weather shape, and they're probably looking at me crazy for saying that, but this is why. So everybody was doing a little bit extra running and conditioning after practice and that, so I think we'll be okay.
Andy Reid back in the Super Bowl. First time since one of the games Bulldog and I went down there for. That was in Jacksonville, I think, when they played the Eagles-Patriots, 2004. Terrell Owens, Donovan McNabb, and the Eagles. That's Andy Reid. That's his only other Super Bowl appearance as a head coach. Not like two isn't good. You know, two's good. Warm weather shape. He means like running and protecting yourself against sort of succumbing to the heat.
Yeah, I don't know.
On a Miami night in January. Okay. I'm in warm weather. I'm in like poolside shape. That's what I'm in.
That's also warm weather shape in a way.
Or I'm in cold weather shape and like I've got a little extra padding.
Yeah.
I'm sort of set for the cold. I've got some extra. I'm carrying around some extra.
So maybe his players have done the same.
Maybe they've done less of that. Maybe they're in better shape. I think he meant it as a good thing, right?
I don't know. I feel like he needed to stay in better shape because if the Super Bowl was in like Minnesota, then they wouldn't have to be in such good shape. I don't really know what he means.
Make sure they all get that extra minute of sleep.
Right.
Because one more minute is better than not. Got to make sure you think of that. Think of everything. I like the Super Bowl. How could you not? Kansas City and San Francisco. San Francisco after years of losing seasons, but, I mean, there have been plenty, of course, of great San Francisco teams. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that team. I mean, what a performance yesterday. Just, it was a joke running the ball against the Packers. I mean, a joke. I didn't watch the second half. I don't know how interesting it got. I know it got a little closer, but no thanks.
It looked like when the Saints were here to me 2 years ago, where they ran like 30 times in a row in the Bills, and it's just like, whatever, we don't need to throw.
Right. And the first game was really good. The Mahomes touchdown run before halftime is a classic play. I don't know if this is something you'd relate to. I watched that play happen alone in my house. I was the only one watching the game. My family was there, but no one else was watching the game. And that Mahomes run before halftime, I mean, it was a big and great play. It was both. Because they're not necessarily thinking field goal there, but that's the likeliest outcome for that drive is a field goal attempt. And not only that, but he starts on that run to the left, and I don't know, did it look like this to you? It didn't seem like he had the angle. I mean, you don't have any knowledge about who's downfield or what he sees downfield, because that's not going to be on the screen. But how many times out of 100 does the quarterback run out of bounds when they're coming around the left end at that angle? Like 99. The quarterback is going to get out of bounds, and he's going to do so before taking the hit, and they'll be that much closer to kicking a field goal, which would have, what, tied the score? Are we talking 17-14 Tennessee at that point, I think? So that's one thing that's cool about that play is, as you're watching it on TV, it's not even going to be a play until he's able to square his body, and now he's running upfield, and like it's not about the sideline. Like he has turned, and he's going. And when you're watching that on TV, it's like a surprise to find out what's waiting for him downfield. Like, you don't know. So the play is kind of a surprise the whole way. And at the first half of the play, when he's running to the left, he's just going out of bounds and it's nothing. And then it becomes this play. Like, wait a minute. He's staying in bounds. First down. Can he score? Wait. Yes. Like, it was just hot like that. And at a huge time in that game, right before halftime, they get the touchdown instead. Tennessee has no time to do anything, and then it's really Kansas City's game throughout the second half. They did trade possessions without scoring first in the third quarter, but you know, I'm fine with them. The Kansas City Chiefs have been pretty good for most of the last 30 years. When the Bills rose to power, the Kelly teams, in the late 80s and early 90s, the Chiefs became pretty good too. Early 90s, they were a pretty good team. They were in the AFC champion. They were in the AFC playoffs against the Bills in 91. They were in the AFC championship in 93. Late 90s, they had good teams, couldn't get there. And then through to Andy Reid, they've had a lot of looks at it. And now they finally make it. How big is week 17 for both of these teams that made it? Don't forget that. As much fun as it is, and as tempting as it is to look at the Super Bowl teams and their styles and how they were built and try to figure out how to copy them, you know, you can do that. These are the Super Bowl teams. But week 17, San Francisco is the end of that game in Seattle, the Sunday night game, the pass interference penalty that's not called, the guy Hollister for the Seahawks getting tackled just inches short of the goal line. They are that close to being the 5 seed and going on the road 3 times to get here. Good luck. I mean, as good as they looked, the odds would be against them pulling that off. Go to Philadelphia, go to Green Bay, go to New Orleans, some kind of a schedule like that. Good luck. And Kansas City, it feels like Kansas City just had they had a lot of luck here in the last month. I mean, they had a pretty good season. They had the Mahomes injury, and they got through that. No one in their division ever really came for them, right? I mean, the Chargers fell apart this year, lost all these kind of close games. The Raiders were not a serious threat. Denver was never a threat. So the division was kind of a cakewalk. They go to week 17 with an outside chance at a bye, and they get it when Miami wins at the Patriots. Shocking. So they walk off the field that day. That result happens in New England, and suddenly they have the next week off. Then they get the Texans. They had to come back from 24-0, which, you know, that's their own fault, but they do that. And then they have Tennessee. They get to the Super Bowl, they beat Houston, and they beat Tennessee at home. Nice. Not too daunting. San Francisco, pretty much the same thing. Minnesota, and part of that is beyond your control. It's the other teams in the division, the other teams in the conference, the schedules, injuries, randomness. You need it all. And the Chiefs, I mean, the last 7 years of Super Bowls, both teams have had first-round buys. It's huge. So the Chiefs get that when Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Dolphins shock the Patriots. And then Baltimore is taken out, so they don't have to go on the road and deal with that. And now it's, you know, they're in. Part of what goes into every, almost every championship season, I guess some teams are just so good, so dominant that they don't really need these kind of factors to enter in. But this Chiefs team did. Thinking about them during the season with the Bills in mind, like I was saying it even Friday, who's driving around in a sports car they bought with money that they bet on the Chiefs in the playoffs over the years? Like nobody. They let you down, even last year. Remember Ross Tucker coming on the show earlier, I don't know if it was during the season or even before the season, and we talked about the Patriots-Chiefs championship game. And I remember him talking about, remember him saying how like the Chiefs had that one play, Dee Ford, who is now on San Francisco, was lined up offside, and the play that would have won them the game against New England was overturned because of this penalty. It was totally away from the play. It meant nothing really, but nevertheless, he's offside. And I remember talking to Ross Tucker with Bulldog the one day, and he said, I tend to root against the dumb teams. Like, the Patriots don't make these mistakes. If you do, well, I have no sympathy for you, is really his point. And so, okay. But this year, they didn't have that game. They didn't have the Ravens. They didn't have to play the first week. And, you know, good for them. Kansas City is a 1.5-point favorite. I think I'm on the Niners.
Well, I mean, I'm already on the Chiefs to some respect.
Fantasy? Our league or what? What is that?
No, just a futures from...
Oh, you have the Chiefs in a futures bet?
Like a month ago, maybe.
Really?
Right at the end of the regular season.
Do you know the price?
I don't. Not off the top of my head.
I have San Francisco. Really? The first bet I made at Seneca Buffalo Creek. When we were there for the ceremony and the Bills, I bet the Bills to beat the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
I have San Francisco. It was 4.5 to 1. 20 to win 110 is all. Is that 5.5? No, that includes the 20. 4.5 to 1. San Francisco to win the Super Bowl.
I want to say mine was something similar to that.
Not even big enough to like hedge.
Right. I like that for San Francisco, though, in the game. 1.5 for Kansas City. I feel like I like that for San Francisco.
Such an impressive... Really, I mean, who knows? Great contrast. The 49ers, what they're doing running the ball is amazing. But Green Bay was also really vulnerable at that. I mean, that's not a great test for that. But
they've been doing it for the most part all season. Not quite like that, but... And Garoppolo, like, I'm not thinking he's, like, he can match Mahomes if he has to, but he can turn it on at any point if he has to. Like they're almost like a souped up version of the Bills to me, where like they're kind of fueled by their defense. They like to run the ball, but if they have to air it out, like they're not a joke. Like I think they could keep up in that respect too. They're a very complete team.
I want to think so too, and I do think so. But it's been a while since we've seen them do it. They haven't had to do it.
Right, I was gonna say it's been a while since they've really had to do it.
Where did Manny Sanders go? Samuel, they're handing the ball to him. You know, they can throw it to him also. And they've gotten plays out of him. Kittle's a blocker, Joe. And he's a great blocker. But that's really, I'm watching this game yesterday. He's on the line of scrimmage. It worked, I guess. They threw 8 passes. And they won the NFC Championship in a blowout. 803-0550, if you have any thoughts. Mike Shope with Sneaky Joe. Bulldog is off today. This is WGR.
My message to them was 49 games that have tested us and strengthened us and taught us, and we've enjoyed the challenge. We would have liked to have more wins, but everybody's liking the process. They're bought into the process, and I told them to go and spend time with people, like give them energy and go to locations where they can get some energy, and let's come back full batteries, full charged, with a hunger to build on this team game that's evolving here and gives us an exciting chance to be a competitive part of this league right through this season.
Ralph Krueger. Okay, I don't know what any of that means really. I'm sorry. I'm not really meaning by that either to be picking on him. I'm not really picking on him. I just don't know. I heard after the game in Nashville, Jake McCabe was quoted. You know, I'm so tied up about stuff now. Like, it's really different than how I was at the beginning of my career. I got a McCabe quote about working hard or something. And I thought to myself, how many times have I read Jake McCabe after a game or heard him after a game talk about hard work and playing the right way? I know what it was. He said after this game, we had him, probably from Paul Hamilton, we had him saying, we've 49 games or whatever, we've put ourselves in a position to play meaningful hockey. And it's just like, I'm just feeling it's a good thing. I'm not a person who throws up easily. I mean, what are you talking about? But here's what I mean by tied up. What do I expect these guys to say? It's always hard work, and it's always, you know, the positives and everything. In these press conferences, I'm just, you know, a guy listening to them, and I could not possibly convey to you how meaningless I think it all is. I just think it's totally meaningless. All these, who knows, I don't know these people personally, to what extent they really think it's important that these things are actually the case or be held to. I think probably a lot of these guys are trying to get through the press conference without stepping in it. And, you know, I guess they do that pretty well. I just can't tell you how meaningless I find all of it. And what I mean also by tied up is, like, McCabe is some, I got no grudge against him or anything. Why would I? And he gives his time to these guys in these interviews. I don't want to, like, call him out on Twitter or something to be like, this guy, because he is doing the interview, and that's a benefit to us, I guess, on some weird level, right? Don't you want to hear from players after games? Do you find some value in it? Because I think we do it because we think you do find some value in it. I just don't have anything. I have no use for it. I have no use for Sabres players talking about hard work and meaningful hockey, whatever the bleep that means. I mean, you're not 50 points out. I mean, what? Meaningful hockey? Just no connection at all to any of that. No idea what to make of it. I think it's probably nothing. Nothing at all to do with it. No interest in listening to it, reading it, nothing. When's the next game? Next Tuesday, Ottawa. That'll be the 50th game. And then after that, the 51st. I mean, just get good. Play your best guys ever. Bogosian? How is that still a thing? This is not even Ristolainen for the fifth year in a row. How is Bogosian still a thing? I just don't even want to hear explanations. I don't even want to hear excuses. I just don't want to listen to it. I don't want to listen to any of it. Please listen to our station. Please listen to our games. Please listen to our post-game shows. Please listen to our pre-game shows. Please listen to our locker room segment. Hopefully you get something out of it. The Super Bowl is set. Kansas City at San Francisco. One thing I was going to say about the Super Bowl, and I ended up in hockey. Why did you do that to me, Joe? I'd give myself a chance here to think of it again, as we'll have the update for you. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Bulldog back tomorrow at 3. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.